after that. I've enjoyed all the singing today. It's been a blessing. I trust you have as well. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We'll continue our study there. The Lord willing, next week I want to talk about the coming of the Lord. Around this time of year, we think about the first coming. And I want to think about this, and I hope that you will too. There's a song that we all know and love. It's called, What Child Is This? And I tell you, the world's got it mixed up. And there was a time when I had it mixed up. I don't say that in a derogatory way. I just say it as a matter of fact. But I'm glad that God straightened my thinking out, and I'm glad that God gave me some revelation, some insight to what child is this. The world is searching for a historical Jesus, but I'm glad I was found by the biblical Jesus, and I'm glad I know him. And it is my prayer that many would know him this time of year and every day of the year, that we would be busy about our Father's business, getting the news out that Jesus saves. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, he done a lot of good things. He taught wonderful lessons about life. He preached stinging, powerful, convicting messages. He performed miracles on every level. He went about doing good, and I'm glad that he did. But the purpose of Jesus coming to this world was beyond all of those things. He came into the world to save sinners, to seek and to save that which is lost. Aren't you glad for that wonderful message that we have? What a wonderful message that Jesus saves. As we have studied through the book of 1 Thessalonians, I don't want to say bogged down. I feel that I preach what God wanted me to out of those three verses, 16, 17, and 18. We're talking about church, a healthy church. We want our church to be a healthy church. A healthy church is made up of healthy church members. And by I say church members, I don't mean your name just on a church roll. I mean your name on heaven's roll. People that know Jesus as their personal Savior, who congregate here and unite with this local fellowship, so that we can carry out the Great Commission and all the things that God has purposed the church for. When we look in this section, we want to be mindful that God gives us our responsibilities. God saves us and he gives us responsibilities. Our responsibility as a pastor or as pastors, as leadership to the congregation. There is a responsibility, and we talked about that. And we also talked about what the responsibility of the congregation is to the leadership. There's responsibilities, and it's two-way. And when those two ways are moving the way God would have them and working the way God would have them to work, well, it's a good foundation for a healthy church. Then we talked about the relationship, and all this is found right here in verses 11 through verse number 15 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We talked about the relationship between sheep and sheep. As a congregation, we have responsibilities to one another. We're to pray. You know, when you go through the scripture and you look that phrase, one another, up, we're to pray one for another. We're to consider one another. We're to provoke one another to love and good works. There's just constant mention of one another because we're in this as a family. We're in this as a body. We're in this as members of Christ's body, as a church. Now, as a local assembly, we're to do it on a local level within our church frame and in a church body. And so please take note that you have responsibility to one another. You have responsibility to the leadership here, and the leadership here has responsibility to you. That's what the Bible teaches. But those, as important as they are not the most important responsibility that God has given us. The most important responsibility that we as believers have is our relationship with Jesus, the chief shepherd. And he begins to elaborate, and we talked about it, and he said, here's some things I want you to do. As Jesus' children, as the church of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to rejoice evermore. I want you to be joyful. Are you joyful? It's just breaming and bursting, I can see. That's not a trick question. Are you joyful, church? And we ought to exercise that joy. It's in us. It's in us. The joy of the Lord is in us, in the person of His Holy Spirit, and we're getting to that. So He said, I want you to be joyful in verse 16. Look at it. He said, I want you to be prayerful in verse 17. Now all these things are incessant. They're unceasing. He said, I want you to always be doing this. I want you to rejoice evermore, you see? Not just rejoice, but evermore. And then He said, I want you to be prayerful. Not just pray, but without ceasing. You see, it's the commandment to rejoice is not really that difficult. The difficulty comes in evermore, right? The commandment to pray is not that difficult. The difficulty comes in without ceasing. Well, we can't do it in ourselves, and we've talked about it. Same way in verse number 18, in everything give thanks. He said, I want you to be thankful. Now, here's some things I want you to do. He said, this is the will of God. And I believe that when He said this is the will of God, it's to be this way. It's to be joyful. It's to be prayerful. It's to be thankful. These are the inner workings of the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life. And now He's going to get to the source. All right? He's been talking about, this is what I want you to do. I want you to rejoice forevermore. I want you to pray without ceasing. I want you in everything to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You probably have been asking, like I have as I've been studying this, how am I going to do this? I've run across some tough commandments under Scripture. These are among the toughest. Not to be joyful, but to do it evermore. Not to be praying, but to pray without ceasing. Not to be thankful, though that can be difficult sometimes, but in everything. Now, how am I going to do that? I certainly don't have it within me to do it. But God doesn't expect me to do it myself. God has given me a helper. Amen. God has given you a helper. And I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit, our helper. He said, you know, if you're going to be rejoicing evermore, if you're going to be praying without ceasing, if you're going to in everything give thanks, you're going to have to learn what it is not to quench the Spirit. And so He mentioned these three things. He said, this is what I want you to do. And He said, in order to do it, you're going to have to not do this. You see what He's saying? The Spirit of God wants to go to work in your life and in my life. I possess the Spirit of God. If you're saved, you possess the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit Himself. Certainly, His ministry in our lives as believers. I'm going to try to clear some of that up in the most basic and simple way this morning. So I want you to stand to your feet with me just for a moment. You've been sitting for a while, and I want you to stand and stretch your legs, and if you have to, stretch your arms. Just don't do it while I'm preaching. You know, I'll never forget, and I've told this story before. I went to visit a church in South Carolina. Actually, it was just a special meeting, and Sharon and I went, and we were visiting this church, and actually, it was the song leader. Many of you know Oliver B. Green. You've heard the name Oliver B. Green. His song leader was J. Bennett Collins. He pastored a church in an adjoining town where we were. And so we wanted to go over and meet J. Bennett Collins and hear him preach. And we were not disappointed. Such a godly man, a good preacher. And, I mean, he was preaching with passion, preaching, I mean, his heart to the people. And there's a guy that I knew from an old workplace sitting, I mean, right on the front seat. And right at a point where he was just pouring his heart out, crying about Jesus, dying on the cross, giving his all for us, he said, now I want everybody to stand, and he was going to finish the message while people were standing. And as this guy stood, I kid you not, he stood and he gave it this. I thought, wow. If Brother Collins can preach through that, he can preach through a hailstorm. And I'm telling you what, he didn't miss a lick. Brother Collins didn't miss a lick. Now, he's in heaven now, and he's probably looking back on that and saying, God, you know, forgive me for my thoughts. I kept preaching, but I'm sure he had some thoughts. And anyway, if you do stretch your arms, do it now. Don't wait till I start preaching. I might get a false signal. So here we are in chapter number 5. We're about to wrap up 1 Thessalonians. I hope that you've learned some things, that you've been encouraged, you've been challenged. I will say that some of the more challenging things and the things I've learned are some of the most simple, like rejoice evermore. It sounds so simple, but really it's deep. You know, God wants me rejoicing. And God wants you rejoicing. Our ladies sing a song here. God wants to hear you sing. And God wants us to be a singing people. You know, the people of God, the Israelites, they were a singing people. When you read the Psalms, that's what they were. They were songs as they were going to Jerusalem, oftentimes to worship in the temple. And those Psalms were written for people to rejoice and to give thanks to God. And so, can I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to bring joy even in the midst of sorrow. And listen, I understand that every situation in life is not joyful, but what I do believe is that what we're being taught here is that you can find joy even in the midst of the sorrowful. There's something to rejoice about. The situation you're in right now may not be a happy or joyful situation, but would you, with God's help, with the Holy Spirit's help, would you find some joy in that sorrow? It's there. Ask God to help you to experience it. Pray it. You say, preacher, I pray, but I can't say that I pray all the time. But I don't know that that's what we're being told here. I think we need to be in the attitude of prayer without ceasing. We just need to be praying. And then there's giving thanks. You may not be able to give thanks for what you're going through, but in that situation, you have something to be thankful for. He'll teach you. Because all things do work together for the good of we who love the Lord and to we who are the called according to His purpose. And when we know that God has our better life, our better care, our best in mind, regardless of what happens, that He's looking out for us and He's working all the things, and only God can do that because He's sovereign. It's beyond my thinking. But just because I can't understand that doesn't mean God can't do it. Amen? Say, I don't understand how God can do that. I don't either. But that doesn't mean He can't do it, because He can. His word said so. And now I want you to look at verse number 19. Just four simple words. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. I want to remind you before we pray and be seated, this is just as much of a commandment as verse 16, 17, and 18. When God tells us not to do something, it's just as strong as commandment as when He tells us to do something. And so He said, if you're going to rejoice forevermore, if you're going to pray without ceasing, if you're going to in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, you're going to have to learn what it is not to quench the Spirit. The very fact that we're told not to do it implies that we can do it. I wonder if you're quenching the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's pray. Father, help us in the time that we have together to learn from Your Word. Teach me, teach us, help me. Bring to my remembrance, Lord, the things that I've studied, the things You've laid upon my heart. And I pray You'll draw each one of us closer to You through the preaching of Your Word, the ministry of Your Holy Spirit. If there is one under the sound of my voice, whether they're here in the sanctuary, whether they're watching by live stream, that does not know You as their personal Savior, God, I pray that You would draw them to Yourself. And I pray that they would come, that they might be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Quench not the Spirit. Very simple. But yet it's something that we all struggle with. If I thought rejoicing forevermore was difficult, praying without ceasing was difficult, to give thanks in everything was difficult, this is more. I need to go through my life. God wants to take me through my life without quenching His Holy Spirit. I think the first thing we need to understand is that there's major sins that the Bible speaks of against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're co-equal in power and attributes. They're not separate. One of the things that we need to understand is when Jesus was here upon the earth with the disciples, he was there with them physically, bodily. He was teaching them. He was their teacher. He was guiding them. He was navigating them through life. And he was helping them with resources, and he was teaching them the word. And there came a time in his life that the Lord Jesus called his disciples together, and he just told them straight out. He said, listen, it is expedient, and I'm in John 16. You don't have to turn there, but this is what he did in John chapter 16. He said, it is expedient for you that I go away. I'm leaving here. He said, but now I want you to know, when I do, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a comforter, a helper. Whereas I was personally teaching you, he now is going to be your teacher. Where I was personally giving you resources, he's going to give you the resources. Where I was personally leading and guiding you into truth, now he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. He's going to guide you. As I was leading you, now he will lead you. But here, Paul tells us, in order for that to happen, you can't quench him. Now, there's, as I said, five major sins that I find in the Scripture against the Holy Spirit. I believe that two of them are committed by lost people, and I believe that two of them are committed by saved people, and one of them is committed by both. The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is found in Matthew chapter 12. You don't have to turn there, but I believe lost people can commit that sin against the Holy Ghost. The Scriptures teach us that the Holy Spirit of God can be blasphemed. It is accrediting the work of God, the work of the Spirit, to the Beelzebub or the work of Satan. And then there is where the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit can be resisted. Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And he spoke that to lost religious people that was stoning him to death. Acts chapter 5 says the Holy Spirit can be lied to. Ananias and Sapphira, and I believe that saved and lost people can lie to the Holy Ghost. But now we get to our category. We're saved. And the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 4 that the Spirit of God can be grieved. Now, I find this interesting. And it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that the Spirit of God can be quenched. Now, the word quench here is a word that is associated with fire, because the Holy Spirit of God is pictured, as is God, a consuming fire. The Holy Spirit of God is pictured as fire. When he came on the day of Pentecost, he came and he lit upon the apostles fire. And the Scripture says here, quench, which means don't smother. Don't stifle. Don't extinguish the Spirit. Listen to him. Obey him. Follow him. Because he has the path of life that God wants you to take. And he will lead you and guide you into that path. He will help you to experience God's best for your life. Don't quench him. Don't smother his voice. Obey him. Follow him. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6, Paul told a young preacher by the name of Timothy, he said, Timothy, he said, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. He said, these are desperate times, and these are devilish days that we live in. He said, I want you to stir up the gift that is in you by the laying on of hands. In other words, he said, you have the Spirit of God in you. And he said, the Spirit of God is like a fire that's burning in your soul. And he said, sometimes you just have to stir that fire up because the embers get to glowing and they get to burning low. And he said, sometimes you just have to take that poker. And you have to do it, Timothy. You have to do it. You allow things to get into your life and you allow things to get in the way. And you just got to stir it up again so the Spirit of God will have its rightful place in your life. And the fire will begin to burn bright again. I've had to do it in my life. More than I'd like to tell you about. You've had to do it in your life. Amen. Sometimes there just needs to be another log thrown on the fire. Amen? Sometimes God just wants us to do what is right. And God wants us to feed into what the Holy Spirit of God is doing. See, I can block out. I can quench him. I can stifle him. Paul said so. And he said, I'm telling you, not, don't do it. Don't you quench. Quench not the Spirit. Dale Freeman, you can do it. But I'm telling you, don't do it. And because you can do it, you can also, listen to me now, through your own will, through your own volition, you can purposefully, with intent, stir him up inside of you. Give him his way inside of you. Do what he says, even when it doesn't make sense to you. Even when you don't understand, you just do what the Spirit of God said do. I'm glad I don't have to understand what God tells me to do it. God just wants me to be obedient. Now, I'm not saying that God will blindly lead us and God will have us to do ridiculous stuff that we don't understand, but I am saying this. There are times that I don't really understand what God is doing in situations. I just need to trust him. That's called faith, brethren. Faith. And God wants me to live by faith. And God wants you to live by faith. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to listen to his Spirit. I'm not to quench the Spirit. The Spirit of God is very important. I wonder if you realize how important the Holy Spirit of God is in your life. Some people, when they think of the Holy Spirit, they think of emotions and they think of a lot of outward experiences. And I'm not saying that the inward working of the Holy Spirit will not bring some outward manifestation. But what I am saying is that most of the work, as goes along right in this context of Scripture, that God wants to do in my life is inward. And it will come out, but it begins inside. Just like the joyfulness and the prayerfulness and the thankfulness is inside and it will come out. So is this matter of not quenching the Spirit. God wants me to know that the Spirit of God that dwells in me is so important to my living the Christian life. I cannot live the Christian life. I cannot have the joy that God wants me to have. I cannot pray like God wants me to pray. I cannot be thankful as God would have me to be thankful. Nor can you without the Holy Spirit of God. We need his help, brethren. We need his help. Do you understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you listen to him? Are you in tune? Have you tuned him into your frequency? Am I listening to him? Am I obeying him? Am I hearing him? I pray to God that all of us would understand the importance of the still, small voice of God's Holy Spirit. How often has the noise of this world, how often has the things that are going on around me robbed me of hearing his still small voice? Oh, it's sweet. It's sweet when you hear his voice. Amen. It's sweet. There's just nothing like it, brethren. There's just nothing. And you know, those of you who know what I... Listen, if you know, you know. You know what I'm saying. There's just nothing like hearing his voice. Oh, how we Christians need that voice continually in our lives. I need it to maintain peace of mind, to maintain integrity in my life, to maintain that communion with God that I need. I need to hear the Spirit's voice. Paul said, quench not the Spirit. Don't quench him. Don't stifle him out. Don't turn a deaf ear. Listen and then obey. It's one thing to hear. But James, you know what James said right before in James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only? Have you got to verse 21 in your mind yet? He said you ought to receive with meekness the engrafted word. Amen. Listen as the Spirit of God speaks the word of God to your heart, to your mind, to your soul, and then do it. That's what led him to write verse number 22. The Spirit of God said, now I want them to receive with meekness, with humility. What does that mean? It means I need God's correction in my life. But not only do I need God's correction, I need God's direction in my life. I need it. I don't want to be too proud and saying, God, I've got this. Remember when Paul was writing to the Galatians? He said, have you forgotten? I'm paraphrasing. This is in Galatians chapter 3. He said, have you forgotten? Have you begun in the Spirit? Now you think that you're going to finish this thing out in the flesh? You need the Spirit of God that birthed you into the family of God to help direct you in life. Don't get so proud now. Don't get so puffed up with pride that you think you've got this now. And if there's one problem that every one of us face, it's that. I've got this, God. No, you don't. No, you do not. We do not got this. I need God's help. You need God's help. But I'm glad God has provided it, aren't you? I'm thankful for that. I wrote down some things that just came to my mind, and I just want to give them to you. These are some of the things that the Holy Spirit of God does in my life, in your life, in the life of every believer. You probably realize this, but what I hope this will do, I really do, is it will kind of, it'll just kind of joggle your memory a little bit. It'll shake you a little bit and cause you to be remembering His activity in our lives, His ministry in our lives. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we are baptized, or we are placed into the body of Christ. We are birthed by the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that births us into God's family and the Word of God. But the Spirit of God, that's His ministry. Not only that, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. We are indwelt. If you are saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen. Now you say, well, no, wait a minute now, preacher. I'm saved, but I'm not full of the Holy Ghost. Well, you might not be full of Him, but you possess Him. If you are saved, the Spirit of God lives in you. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9 says, but you're not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And so if you have the Spirit of Christ, you're saved. If you don't, you're not. It's really that simple. Now, that you're saved, the Spirit of God lives in you. He births us. He indwells us. The Bible also says that He empowers us, Acts 1:8, and there's multiple other scriptures. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, He empowers us. He tells us what to speak. He even tells us when to speak if we'll listen. He empowers us for service. He gifts us, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for service. He gives you the gifts. He gives me the gifts and the abilities to use to serve Him. The Spirit of God does that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He seals us. He has given us the earnest of the inheritance. In other words, He is the down payment. He is the guarantor that I'm going to heaven. The Spirit of God is. And He has sealed us, Ephesians chapter 4, unto the day of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that? We're going to heaven, brethren. Why? Because the Spirit of God said so. And He has sealed us until that day. He convicts us. He convinces us of sin. Romans 8 says He intercedes for us. Romans 8 also says that He sanctifies and He is conforming us into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And then the Bible also says in Galatians chapter 5 that He wants to produce fruit in my life. Those things that we just talked about, rejoicing, praying, being thankful. The Spirit of God wants to do that through my life. You see, my old flesh is none of those things. They're not. But as I yield to Him, as I listen to Him, as I allow Him to have His way, He will produce these things in my life. Are you quenching the Spirit? Maybe a better question would be, are you joyful? Are you prayerful? Are you thankful? Here's one. Are you worshipful? See, the Spirit of God doesn't speak of Himself. Jesus said, He said, He will glorify me, meaning Jesus Christ. And when I worship God, it's the Spirit of God in me that's leading me in that worship. How about you? Are you quenching the Spirit? Are we listening and obeying and practicing? How are we going to do that, preacher? How do we do that? Well, I just want to give you some, again, they're simple thoughts. I hope you'll write them down, or if you probably already know them, just maybe just allow God to speak to your heart and say, now, be remembered or be reminded and remember these things, all right? Number one, the Spirit of God illuminates the Word of God and even interprets the Word of God in my life. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I want you to listen carefully. When I gave the 10 chapter, by the way, that's not original. I read that from someone else, and I took the challenge myself, and I thought, I think I'll challenge the church. And we've done that a couple of times. And I hope those of you who took the challenge have finished and you're ready for another after the new year. After the new year. The Word of God is important to our lives. Right? You get saved. Somebody in here today, maybe you've just gotten saved, or maybe someone listening, and you say, you know what? I want to do the right thing. I want to grow. Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That you may grow thereby. Get God's Word in you. Let the Spirit of God teach you this book right here. Amen. You know why I love this book? Now, I'm not trying to, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying I'm all that. I'm just saying I love the Bible. I'm not saying I read it as all. I'm not saying I obey it every time. I'm just saying I love it. So don't misinterpret that. I love the Bible. Now, before I got saved, I didn't love the Bible. And my flesh still doesn't love it. But there's the Spirit of God who is the author of the Bible. He lives in me. The author of this book lives in my heart. Please listen to me. And if you're saved, He lives in you. And that's what draws me to this book. When I'm not in this book like I should be, there's someone inside of me that's drawing me to this book right here. And telling me, you need to get in the book. And if I do, then I'm not quenching Him. If I don't, I'm quenching the Spirit. When I'm reading this book, when I'm studying this book, when I'm hearing it preached, when I'm memorizing or meditating on the Word, and the Spirit of God speaks to me and says, now, you know what? You're not doing this, or you're not doing this enough. I have choices to make. I can say, well, let me get on doing that. I'm obeying. I'm agreeing with the Holy Spirit. But if I say, well, now, you know, I do it more than Gabe. I do it more than John. I'm quenching the Spirit. God doesn't want me to compare myself with how you do it. Amen. We're not to compare ourselves one with another. God has a purpose for me. God has a purpose for you. God has a will for me. God has a will for you. And when God tells me to do something, I'm not to check out and see if other people are doing it. I'm just to obey the Holy Spirit. If I obey Him, then I'm not quenching Him. If I do not obey Him, I'm quenching the Spirit. You see how that works? You see, holy men of old, they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book was written by the Holy Spirit, and I know He used human instruments. And now He lives in me. You know what He does for me? When I'm reading through the Bible, this is 1 John chapter 2. Now, I hope you'll write this down. In verse number 20, it says, we've received an unction. I like that word. I like that word. We have received an unction from the Holy One. The Spirit of God has given me an unction, an insight into this book right here. Why? He wrote it. And so He knows what it says. He knows what it means. And so He's going to tell me when I'm reading this, this is what that means, son. If you read on down in 1 John 2, in verse number 27, it says, we have received the anointing. I'm glad for the unction, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God that helps me understand this book right here, brethren. Helps you understand it. Amen. Now, I'm thankful for human teachers. Please don't get me wrong. And they're gifts to the church. But more than a human teacher, I need the divine teaching of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so when I'm in the Word, I'm allowing, I'm listening, I'm agreeing with the Holy Spirit. And as I do this, I'm not quenching Him. And therefore, He has free reign in my life. Amen, bro. I'm dead to Dale, and I'm living for Christ. And now the Spirit of God can direct me and pivot me and guide me and teach me, right? You see what Paul was saying here? He said, don't quench the Spirit. Don't smother His light. Don't smother His heat. Don't smother his fervency. Don't smother his passion that God put in you. No wonder so many people are walking around indifferent, cold, callous. We've grieved the Holy Spirit. Now listen, when I quench the Holy Spirit, here's the difference. I meant to get to this earlier. When I quench him, that's what I do. When he grieves, that is a result of what I do. Did you get that? See, they go together. One is from my side, one is from his side. I quench him, and so he grieves because I quench him. One is an action, the other is a reaction. My action to quench the Holy Spirit, to smother him, to stifle him, to disobey him, to discount him, to not listen to him, it grieves him because he knows I'm missing out. I'm missing out. You're missing out, son, when you don't listen, when you don't obey, when you don't practice, you're missing out. Now, the devil won't tell you that. The flesh won't tell you that. Sin will tell you that you're missing out if you do what God said. But the Holy Spirit will tell you the truth because he is truth, and he'll tell you you're missing out when you do not do what I say do. So if you're sitting here this morning, whether young, old, male, female, church member or not, if you're saved in the grace of God, the Spirit of God lives in you, and he'll tell you what to do, and he'll give you direction, and he'll tell you, do this, don't do this, go this way, go that way, do this today, don't do this today. And if you'll listen, if I'll listen, I'll please God, and the Holy Spirit will have free reign in my life. But if I don't, I grieve him, because I quench him. And it grieves God when I quench him. It grieves God when you quench him as well. I want you to turn to a verse of Scripture. I've got just a few more thoughts that I want to give you before I close today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. While you're turning there, I want to make it very clear that this verse of Scripture can be used for eternity's sake, and it can be used for heaven. And I've used it oftentimes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. I've used it for talking about, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And we normally stop at verse number 9. But I want to show you what Paul was saying here. He's saying the same thing. He's saying, listen, I don't quench the Spirit. He said, your human faculties cannot get it done. You can't understand God's kingdom. Humanly speaking, please listen now. The flesh cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. And so he said in verse number 9, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. He says, it is written, and that's Isaiah. He said, I have not seen or ear heard, neither have entered to the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He said, oh, if you only understood. Now listen carefully now. This goes right with 1 Thessalonians 5:19. If you only understood all that God has for you, you wouldn't quench him. You wouldn't quench him. He said, your eye hath not seen, nor your ear heard. He said, it can't even enter into your heart all that God wants to do in your life, and that he has done when he saved you. And he wants to fulfill, and he wants to carry out, and he wants to complete what he began in your life. And so he said in verse number 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So don't quench him. Well, I just want to do God's will. I do too. So don't quench him. Listen to him. Listen to him. Do what he says. God has some wonderful things for his people. Now the devil will tell you a lie. The devil will lie to you and tell you that God wants to put you through the wringer and a stretcher and wring every ounce of joy and every ounce of purpose in your life. But the exact opposite is so. The devil's a liar and the father of it. Paul was saying here, if you will live your life without quenching the Holy Spirit of God, if you will listen to him, if you will get in the Word and let him teach you what God said, and let him help you to obey and practice what God said, if you will let him empower you, empower me to carry out the truth of this book. He said, you can't even comprehend all the things that God can do in your life. He said, but I tell you what, verse number 10, he said, the Spirit of God will reveal them to you. Because the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God will take you to some places you never thought that you would go. Isn't that so, brethren? If we would just let Him. If we would just not quench Him. I'm going to do this and I'm going to be done. Go to Psalm 19. You know Psalm 19. I just want to point out a few things. And there's so many other things that the Spirit of God wants to do. And we may come back to this. I don't know. About quenching the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God wants to bring me in close communion with God. He does. Well, my communion is not what it ought to be. It's because I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. It all begins with the Word of God and allowing Him to interpret and illuminate His Word and empowering me to carry out His Word and obey His Word and practice His Word. But then after that, you know, He wants me to be so sensitive to His voice that I'll hear when He calls. I'll hear when He speaks. Do you hear when He speaks? Do you hear when He calls? This is what the Spirit of God wants to do in my life, in your life. Are you in Psalm 19? Let's close with this, all right? In Psalm 19, look at verse number 7. Now, Psalm 19 has become one of my favorite psalms. I say that about many of them. Look, if you would, how the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to do so many things in our life. When we will not quench Him, here's what the Bible says will happen. The law of the Lord, verse 7, are you there? It's perfect, converting the soul. Now, that's the first step. That's the first step. The Spirit of God is perfect, and it can make the imperfect perfect in Christ. That deals with the soul. Notice the next phrase there. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. If I will not quench the Holy Spirit, God will give me His wisdom. If you will not quench the Holy Spirit, God will give you wisdom in matters that you need wisdom in life. And God knows we all need wisdom in life. We don't need this earthly wisdom, brethren. I need that wisdom which is from above. And you do too. And if I will not quench the Holy Spirit and I will listen to Him as He speaks to me from the Word that He wrote, He authored it, He wants to interpret it, He wants to illuminate it in my mind, in my heart, and He wants to help me to have wisdom from the Word. Look at verse number 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. Look at this. Rejoicing the heart. Rejoice evermore. When I will allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in my life, to work in my through the reading of the Word, it will rejoice my heart. It truly will be sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Verse number 8 says, the commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. You see the different things that God does in my body and in my life when I will not quench the Holy Spirit. When I listen to the Holy Spirit, it brings conversion to the soul. I believe this is talking about salvation, but I also think it's talking about someone who has wandered. When thou art converted, feed my sheep. Is that what God told Peter? Yes. James wrote about conversion of the brother too. Sometimes brothers need to be converted, not saved, but brought back to a place of usefulness. And when I will listen to the Holy Spirit, He will get me and keep me on the right track. When we listen to the Holy Spirit, He will give us God's wisdom. He will bring joy to my heart. He will bring enlightenment to my eyes. The fear of the Lord, verse 9, is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. When I listen to God's Holy Spirit, when I don't quench His Holy Spirit and allow Him to illuminate the Word and teach me the Word, it helps me to be a good Christian. Now, I want to be a good Christian. And I don't want to be a good Christian in my eyes. I not only want to be a good Christian in your eyes, I want to be a good Christian before God. I want to be a good servant. I want to be a servant, a vessel of honor, meet for the Master's use. And I believe you do too. And I believe one of the basic, simple steps in that is quench not the Spirit. Are you listening to Him? When He speaks, do you hear? When you hear, do you obey? You say, well, sometimes. Well, that's why your life is up and down. The times that you are, you're prospering. The times that you're not, you're not. God wants me to obey, not sometimes, every time. And he wants you to as well. Let's stand to our feet. Quench not the spirit. Don't stifle now. Don't smother. When God speaks, don't block him out. And God speaks to us through his word. And as his word gets in my heart, I have decisions to make. Am I going to obey and honor the Spirit? Or am I going to disobey and quench the Spirit? You have the same choices. Let's bow our heads together. As the pianist begins to play, I wonder, as this simple commandment, quench not the Spirit, went out today, I wonder where you are with that. Say, well, preacher, I'm obedient to the Holy Spirit. I'm not quenching him. Well, good. Be careful now. But that's good. I'm not suggesting that we're a bunch of spirit-quenching folks. I'm just saying we've been commanded not to quench the Holy Spirit. Be cautious. Be sensitive to his voice. You know, not every time is your way the Spirit's way. Not every time is my way the Spirit's way. Sometimes we'll make choices and we'll do it our way instead of his way. Could I encourage you, as I look to my own heart, let's be obedient to him, his way, not our way.